Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is October 22nd, Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. We'd like to have you stand, please. An invocation will be done by Mr. Russ Robertson. And if you would remain standing as the flag salute would be led by Councilwoman Betancourt.
Good evening. Bow your heads with me if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we ask that you would guide our council members this evening and the decisions that they make for the city of Reedley and its citizens. Lord, we ask you give them the wisdom that to make the decisions that are appropriate for the community. And Lord, we ask that you just be with us during this meeting and bless everyone involved. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the roll call, please.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Fast.
Here.
Mayor Pinon.
Here. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Thank you. Being none, do we have a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. And no additions or deletions.
Second.
Second.
I have a second from
Mayor.
Okay. Yeah. Mayor
Pinon. Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember
Fast.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
We move on to public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the city council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any questions or comments from the public? Please approach the podium and state your name and address, please.
Good evening, Sandra Statz, West Star Construction, 13837 South Zediger, Kingsburg, California. Now, I'm not really sure you have an item on the consent calendar for specification plans. Can I make a comment now or do I wait? Are you going to open for on the consent items?
I suppose you can make a comment now.
Okay. And generally, it's just a comment. First, I want to thank the staff. We met earlier this afternoon on a totally different topic and on a project that we have been graciously approved by the council, TrackMac 6229. The only concern that we have is with the implementation of the new specifications and details of the city, little concerning that possibly there might be something that will impact our improvement drawings that we've already pretty much have gotten underway. So that's our biggest concern in making sure that we do not have any large impact to the subdivision at this point. So that's our comment, our concern.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the public? Any from the council? Very good. We move on to consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A Council members' vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoptions of ordinances, only those that have received the unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Is there any items the council wish to pull from the consent agenda?
I'd like to pull 7, 8, and 9.
Those are public hearings?
Yeah, those are all public
hearings. Those are all public hearings.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see the public hearing part. Thank you. Never mind.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
Second.
Ray.
Ray.
Council member. Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Open up for any other public comment.
Oh, sorry. Is there any comments from the public on the consent agenda? Being none?
And if there are none, I'll just chime in that with the comment that we received or the question, we don't envision there will be any problems with the maps or the specifications, and we'll certainly work with the developer if they find something. So just in case you're wanting an answer on that.
Very good. Thank you.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Bass?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes. Very good. We go to consent agenda item 1.
No. Oh. Be carried. Yeah. Now we go to
public
number
hearing.
7.
Sorry. That's right. Item 7, public hearing regarding the placement of stop signs on Della Alter Avenue between Davis and Shimizu Avenues and receive comments from the general public. Engineering John Robertson.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Thank you very much. The item before you, the public hearing before you tonight, is to consider the placement of a stop sign at a specific location on Della Taylor Avenue. I'd like to give you a little background on where this has come from. We received several complaints from residents that live along Della Taylor of speeding vehicles and traffic. As we know, it can happen. Looking at the geometry of Della Taylor, it's a fairly straight road. Though, if you obey the laws of and requirements of the city and the state, you should approach every uncontrolled intersection and stop and only proceed when you're supposed to and when it's clear. Concerns that had been raised to us were people speeding excessively and not stopping where they should be or slowing down as they approach some of those uncontrolled intersections. So we did our due diligence to look into to see if warrants were met per the California MUTCD, and I brought an item before you when we looked at G Street and the stop signs on G Street, where we talked a lot about the placement of regulatory signage and the requirements of that. So we did our due diligence to see if we could meet these warrants, and we did not find enough traffic accidents in this area to meet those warrants. Also, we went out and did inspect the section of roadway, this corridor, and did not observe the volumes of traffic that would come anywhere near close to what the warrants do require to be met. We did speak with the fire department, and after looking at accidents, we did come up with, they presented to us two accidents that had occurred, one at Huntsman and Della Taylor and one at Shoemake and Della Taylor, within the last 4 to 5 months, two accidents that occurred at that time. So that gave us enough of a concern, and my concern looking at just the geometry of Della Taylor itself, such a straight, long straight road without any kind of curvature in it to kind of slow people down. I did want to go to Traffic Safety Commission and bring the item before them and have any input and discussion from them. So we, at our last Traffic Safety Commission meeting, we did meet and considered placing a four-way stop sign at Della Taylor and Huntsman and Della Taylor and Shoemake. I presented that in the format to get comments and, from the Traffic Safety Commission. As you know, Traffic Safety Commission has general public members and also someone from the KCUSD and someone from the fire department that also sit on that committee. The gentleman from KCUSD brought up the fact that there is a bus stop that does stop during the mornings and in the afternoons to pick up children at Huntsman and Della Taylor. And that they had noticed as bus drivers, people tend not to pay attention to the fact that buses are stopping there and they'll drive by. And so there was enough of a concern raised, and part of the code that I presented to you does give City Council an option to consider placement of stop signs in areas that have high pedestrian areas or other areas of sight distance concerns if they so desire. They can place that, but it has to be a council decision to make so that it can be enforced in that way. The Traffic Safety Commission supported the idea of placing a four-way stop sign at Huntsman and Delaterre. They were not in support of placing it at Shoemake and Delaterre at this time. What they were proposing to do is putting the one in at Huntsman and Delaterre and then seeing how well that works in helping to reduce vehicle traffic and speeding and other things and see if we get any complaints or concerns. Just as a note, the reason that I chose Shoemake and Huntsman continue as roadways across the west side of Frankwood. So they kind of act as local collectors almost. And in the future, we're going to have the high school to the south of Delaterre and then junior high to the east of East Avenue. And we can see where we could potentially get a lot of traffic coming from the west side of Frankwood over through using those, what I'm calling local slash collectors, to get to there. We could be increasing the traffic at those situations, in those situations in the future when those schools are built. So that was one of the reasons I chose those two intersections to bring before Traffic Safety Commission. And as I said, Traffic Safety Commission was in support of the placement at Huntsman, but not at this time of Shoemake and Delaterre. So the item before you tonight is to receive any public comment, have any discussion amongst council members to talk about the support or not support of placement of these stop signs. If it's the council's desire to place a stop sign at Huntsman or and Delaterre and another one, then we will, the staff will bring back as on a consent item the placement of those stop signs and where the funding sources were coming from to pay for those. So that includes my report to council, and I would be happy to answer any questions you have regarding this matter before the public hearing is opened.
Mary, do you have something?
Go ahead.
Do you have questions?
Well, John, what I am looking at the map, and I talked to the city manager about this. When the Transportation Committee looked at this, they denied the one on Shoemake, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And I can understand that one. But if you look at that whole road, Delaterre, you've got 10 streets, crossroads. And they said no on Shoemake. Why didn't they look at Beach? That's 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you go down to Olson, you have another stop sign there.
Right.
Right. And then you come down to Huntsman, that's another 4.
Right.
Now that is a positive breakdown of intersections that could slow the traffic down. And then you're going to satisfy the people that are complaining about traffic. I've been so frustrated with traffic in this community that people don't care, especially in neighborhoods. So, why didn't they look at that one?
We did discuss it because the location at Beach does kind of fit from a geometrical standpoint halfway between Shimizu and Olson, and then Huntsman is also about halfway from Olson down to, Davis, excuse me. So that would work. Yes, the only reason we did talk about that, I had referenced and recommended Shoemake because of what I mentioned before, is that it kind of in the future could become a collector road, though its location to Shimizu is it's not quite in the center of Shimizu in there. So we did discuss it. They were not, generally the Traffic Safety Commission is not real comfortable in approving stop signs unless they meet warrant analysis. And these didn't. So what they wanted to do was put the one at Huntsman to see if it really does slow traffic down and evaluate it over time to see if it would make sense to put one up further north. Whether we put one at Beach and Shoemake, that could definitely be something we have more discussion about with them, as we hear that you would be in support of that also at this time.
You know, I understand, but the problem is that I've always said putting a stop sign is very cheap. What do you pray? What kind of a price do you put on a person's life? Where you don't control the speed. And we have that in this community. It's ridiculous. And I know that this California Mutual Unified Traffic Device that's one of the reasons you're able to put that on Huntsman?
Yes. They've given some opportunities and flexibility if we don't
meet
warrants.
Why couldn't we do that?
We can. If the council desires to do that, I would definitely come back with a recommendation or that could be a recommendation to me, and I could bring that forward.
The reason I'm bringing it up is that for safety. That's my concern. You know, we live in this community, and we want to protect the citizens. So,
I'm wondering if what we can do, Mr. Solano, is put up the stop signs at Del Altair and Huntsman, and maybe come back to you in 4 months' time, you know, a quarter of a year, give you an update and determine whether or not we're seeing some improvements in the area, and then move forward from there to potentially go back with stop signs at Beach.
I'm not going against what you're proposing. I'm going to what I'm looking at safety. Mm-hmm. What does it cost to put a stop sign in those intersections?
About $2,500 approximately.
Right. If we do that, then we know that safety is going to be performing there because we're slowing down the traffic. Mm-hmm. We're going to do another survey and what's going to take place. We don't know when it's going to come back. But if we do it now, we know we're putting something positive for the people that are complaining about speed.
My only recommendation would be to be careful about the placement of stop signs at every intersection, because that could really create an issue with driver frustration that leads to people just running and ignoring them if they're placed at every intersection. So be very careful when you're, as we do this, to recognize the fact that if we do it at everyone, we might getting recommendations to place them everywhere. And so we'd have to be very careful about our and be very judicious about how we place those.
People are very impatient. They don't like stop signs until something happens to them. Then they come back to the city, why didn't you put a stop sign there? I'm saying do something ahead of schedule before it happens to us. I'm sorry, but I looked at that and I said, you know, one extra stop sign, it's going to make a big difference. People don't complain. I have customers that complain. City of Reedy put in so many stop signs. I said, that's fine. But if it happens to somebody in your family,
okay,
you're going to complain about it later on. Okay. That's all I have to say.
I was just mentioning to the city attorney that the item tonight is a public hearing for direction to staff to bring back a resolution even for the stop sign placement at Del Altair and Huntsman. So if council so desires to include in that direction to staff to also bring back the stop sign at Beach and Del Altair, they may do so. So tonight is a public hearing with direction to be given to staff of bringing an item back. Right. So we do
and
have
an opportunity. And that's why I want to present my side of it. Whatever the council wishes, you know, I'll go along with that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, John.
Yes.
Okay, so then we can... sorry, you had a question?
Yeah, go ahead and ask your question.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we have a stop sign on Olson, right?
Correct.
But there's not a stop sign going across Olson. It's only on Del Altair.
That's correct. It only stops Del Altair traffic.
Okay. Is there a way to do a two-way stop on Del Altair? On Del Altair, just like we have on Olson? I don't quite see, at least till we have a school here and a school down south. There's not that much traffic there. There really isn't. And I don't think I'm in favor of putting a stop sign, at least not a four-way stop there.
Are you proposing to stop Del Altair traffic or Huntsman traffic?
Stopping the Del Altair traffic, okay. Just like Olson and Del Altair.
Okay.
It'd be on Del Altair.
Two-way stop.
Right.
What's the difference between a two-way stop and a four-way stop?
The difference is all four, obviously, I think all four intersections, all four legs are stopped.
Yeah.
The only difference between that I see that I would discuss with Olson, you have a greater amount of traffic on Olson than you would on Huntsman. And stopping Huntsman or not stopping Huntsman doesn't, it's the volume of traffic is different. The kind of typical traffic is different, whereas Olson's busier. Huntsman doesn't really move a whole lot of people. The reason I'm just proposing to place a stop sign there is because we're stopping people on Delaterre. By stopping people on Huntsman, we're stopping all traffic from and removing all potential conflicts. Because we could create some sight distances. If we have a bus stopped on Delaterre, the person going on Huntsman does not have to stop. And they have a bus stopped at that location on Delaterre, we could have a sight distance issue by them blocking and they don't see people coming or someone stopped right next to the bus that might go forward. There, I think it creates some potential confusion at the intersection. Which is why I recommend it all four.
Yeah, question.
Yeah, now John, am I missing something? Are they talking about speed on both of those streets?
The complaints that we received was Delaterre.
Okay, it was the main, it was on Delaterre.
Yes.
Okay. Because I can see where the issue would be on Huntsman, because that's a through street also, that
right.
There might be a speed issue there, because that's where I see the four-way coming in a little bit
help.
More, that it would be directing traffic both ways that way.
Yeah.
So.
John, I had a question. Where is the gutter, the rain gutter? Is that on Delaterre?
Yeah,
it runs across? Because I know you have to slow
no.
down.
There's not a gutter that goes across Delaterre. I don't
it's
believe.
It's not there.
I don't believe.
Okay.
From what I can see, I drove it today again, and I don't remember seeing a gutter going across Delaterre.
Okay.
I know what you mean. It tends to act as a
yeah.
people
right,
will slow down.
There's
and dips
dip,
across
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't slow down,
yeah.
you're gonna
yeah.
bottom out. Very good. So I suppose we need to. Hear from the public, right? Open the public hearing. Do we have any questions? Now we now open the public hearing. Are there any questions, comments from the public? Questions or comments from the council?
Well, the only one I'm looking at is Beach and Delaterre. As far as I'm concerned, as far as more safety.
So do we need to do some studies as to what we need to be able to get possible stop signs or what?
It really would just be direction from council tonight. I would assume we would want somebody to make a motion to have staff return with resolutions to place stop signs at whatever the intersections are that council so desires.
And Mr. Mayor, if you'll close the public hearing and then we can continue.
Okay, on. We close the public hearing and we go to comments from the council.
Make a motion to as to what the city manager mentioned.
Which locations, though? I guess. And the direction.
Mine is Beach.
So two-way or four-way?
No, just a one-way.
No, two-way stop or a four-way stop at Beach and
Delaterre.
Right. Just to cross. I'm just talking about stopping.
The
Delaterre.
Okay, so two-way stop.
Yeah. Delaterre.
It is. I wonder that. So, if we move forward with a four-way stop at Huntsman and Delaterre, I really would recommend a four-way stop at Beach and Delaterre, so there isn't confusion as to two-way stop, four-way stop, two-way stop. So, it,
correct.
On Olson, the two-way stop, because that is a very large street, that two-way stop is very clear. That it's a two-way and the other one goes straight across.
Right,
but I would
right.
recommend if we're going to do a four-way stop at Huntsman and Delaterre, we also do a four-way stop at Beach and Delaterre for consistency's sake for the drivers.
A four-way stop on Beach?
Yeah.
Well, and if
just for consistency so it doesn't confuse drivers.
And I don't want to confuse this discussion anymore. However, I guess Shoemake is not out of the picture either. You're not bound by what the Traffic Safety Commission recommended or didn't recommend. So, I mean, the council is free to reconsider, I guess, a two- or four-way stop at Shoemake as what was, I guess, originally recommended to the Traffic Safety Commission. So, I mean, that's available, too. So,
because the Beach right now, there's no stop signs at all, right?
It's more centered, huh?
All right. So if you just put a stop sign on Delaterre that's going to stop the traffic, that's what I've been looking at. So you're only putting a stop sign on Delaterre.
A two-way stop.
The city manager is recommending the four. Right?
So what we see in streets that have a two-way stop with an uncontrolled on the other side, unless it's a major street where it's very obvious that traffic is crossing and doesn't have a stop, I think if we have a four-way down below, it could be confusing to drivers up above. However, it is completely up to council. If the two-way we're good with, we'll put it in.
Yeah. So right now on Beach, both of them, there's no stop sign at all.
Correct.
Either way.
Correct. Yeah.
And we're asking for a four-way on Huntsman because of the bus?
We're asking for a four-way on Huntsman for a couple of reasons. One is because it does connect, Huntsman does connect directly to Frankwood. So you do have traffic coming in off of Frankwood that could go all the way across to Dinuba. So you could end up with much more traffic. We know that with the junior high coming in to the east of this development, that we will have much more traffic going east and west on Huntsman. So that's why a four-way stop seemed to make sense here, because we were sort of planning for that future traffic. In addition, we have concerns if we only have a two-way stop and the bus is stopped, you could have site concerns and drivers that go on through without stopping with kids. So it could create some confusion. So we thought a four-way stop makes it much cleaner.
Just to add in, standard practice for placement of stop signs is not to stop the busier traffic. So Delaterre gets more traffic than Huntsman does. Mm-hmm. So if you were going to put a stop sign, you wouldn't put it, if you were just going to do a two-way, you wouldn't put it and stop the traffic with the real roadway with the more traffic on it. You'd stop the roadway with the less traffic on it. It's just typical standard practice.
Except I'm going to stop you there and say that the intent is to slow down traffic that speeds up on Delaterre.
Yes.
So that's why this one is a little different.
Well, which is why I would recommend it's doing a four-way like we proposed.
Okay.
Rather than just the two.
Can I really confuse the issue?
Yes.
I like the idea of Beach, but I really think that the original idea of it being on Shoemake, because you have a street that goes across, you have that's a connector between Shoemake goes all the way across Frankwood. You're liable to have traffic flow move that way and go completely across, and they'll avoid, I think they'll avoid Beach because of that, and they'll go straight through Shoemake all the way down once you get your school and stuff in. I think you're going to have that's going to be a through traffic off of that.
That was the original thought process of putting it at Shoemake, was it goes across Frankwood all the way again over to Dinuba.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with that. I mean, I'll go with either direction you guys want to go, but I was just looking at that as being a reason for that being at Shoemake.
And Beach doesn't go all the way to Frankwood?
Beach, yes. We were talking about streets that actually go across Frankwood. So if you have traffic coming in from Dinuba, you could end up with more cars because they would be going all the way across Frankwood to Dinuba.
Because I can see them avoiding that street and just going straight across because of the stops. It'll be a straight shot all the way over to
East Avenue.
Yes.
Just for clarity, Olson's the only true collector at this point, yeah. Right?
That's
but
correct.
The thought is Shoemake and Huntsman almost will act like collectors eventually.
Eventually.
Correct.
So then you would have those three kind of collector streets because they go through, they go beyond Frankwood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So between Shoemake and Olson, you got a pretty good run.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm looking at it is every crossroad, every two blocks or whatever it is, crossroads, you're spreading them out evenly across the 10 streets. Now, whatever we decide, as long as it slows down on Delaterre, I don't care where it's at.
Did you make a motion on that, Ray, for Beach and for the other one also?
I did, yeah.
Okay, I'll second that.
And did we get clarity on, was it a two or a four-way? I can't recall. Yeah. Mr. Salino.
Four-way.
So four-way at Beach and a four-way at Huntsman.
Yes.
That's the motion. Okay.
Yes.
And to be clear, this motion would direct staff to bring back resolutions for stop signs to be placed at those. So tonight's action will not place the stop
right.
sign. Tonight's
correct.
Action will direct staff to bring back an item.
That is correct. Yes.
Councilmember Salino with the first and Councilmember Beck with the second.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct? Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
No.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes. Very good. Item 8. Consider the adoption of ordinances regarding a ballot measure, California primary election. Paul, you're on, my friend.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Good evening, City Council. This is the second time these codified and uncodified ordinances are in front of the council. On October 8th, ordinance numbers 2019-005 and 006 were presented for introduction to the council. And after discussion during the public hearing that was there, the council present unanimously voted in favor of the proposed ordinances. The council discussion on the October 8th meeting resulted in direction to staff to modify the proposed ballot language to include a requirement for a 10-year review of the ballot measure, which was added to the ballot measure shown in the staff report with guidance from the city attorney. And the final ballot language was sent to the county clerk after the approval of the resolution that called for the special election. So the ballot language is shown below. The only change is in essentially the last sentence, the line that starts with requiring annual audits and 10-year review. The ballot language still meets the 75-word limit as called for in state law, so we're still compliant. So we were able to modify the language fairly easily with taking out some redundant types of language. So we were able to accomplish that. This is essentially the last step in the process that started this past spring with the community polling that was done back in April and May that showed that the community of voters supported this measure. It was, I believe, 76% of those spoken with supported, and about 8 out of 10 voters felt that the city needed more resources to maintain its current level of services, not even to improve upon, but just to maintain those services, that additional funds were needed. So with that community poll, staff was also working on a very exhaustive and detailed 5-year financial forecast for the city's general fund, and it was the most detailed forecast we've done in my time here, and it resulted in some pretty sobering results that the next 5 years are going to be pretty tough sailing, if we're sailing at all, because the ship would actually be listing a bit and perhaps even taking on some water. That said, those deficits would grow from over $600,000 in the next budget year to well over $2 million a year in those out years, going out 4 and 5 years, which are just compound. That's assuming all services continuing as they currently are. And a lot of that is driven by cost increases that the city has limited control over, such as our workers' comp insurance, our liability insurance, our personnel costs as they result to the benefits that are provided. And those costs are going up in the private industry as well. It's not just cities that are seeing that. As a result of that that 5-year forecast, recommendation was placed before the council in August to declare a fiscal emergency, which had to be adopted unanimously. And on August 27th, it was. And that was after careful consideration of this council and a lot of pretty serious discussions about where the city is headed if nothing is done. That said, that gave the direction to staff to begin preparing the ballot materials, which we've brought before the council at the first meeting in October as the first reading, and this would be the second reading and adoption of the ordinance, 2019-005 and 006. With this, if it's adopted tonight, staff would continue to work with the county council to get it on the ballot and request a ballot measure number, letter, and begin the community outreach portion of the process. So with that, I'd like to turn it back to the council.
Any questions from the council?
I have a question to you, Mr. Attorney. Why do we have ordinances now that are taking into consideration that we are going to adopt this, that it is going to pass? Why don't we wait till after it passes?
The state department requires us to have these ordinances ready to go in the event that the voters vote to approve it, basically to take the discretion away from the council.
At
they
that
don't
point.
Want is the voters approve something and then the council
brings
refuses
it back.
To adopt the ordinance after the fact. So,
okay.
So the last act is in the voters' hands, so to speak.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. I was just curious because it just seemed kind of backwards to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And they, just so it's clear, the ordinances themselves do say they do not take effect unless and until the voters approve it at
yes,
the March,
I did see
the March
that.
20.
Yeah.
Election.
Yeah, I did see that.
So if it fails, if the voters fail to approve it, then the ordinances would never be affected.
They're not. Okay.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Well, the only thing I can say on this tax measure is this local sales tax measure fact sheet. The last time we talked about it, I was saying that I'd say that half of my customers were saying no, some said yes. But in letting them see this sheet, what kind of effect it's going to have on the city, it made a big change on them. Mm-hmm. And they realize what we're looking at. So they're going to support it.
Okay. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hope. Yes. Any other questions from the council?
Thank you.
We open the public hearing.
Yes.
Any questions from the public or comments? Being none, we close the public hearing.
And then just one additional administrative item. We didn't include the typical language in the agenda to, technically we have to waive the second reading. So if whoever makes the motion, if there's a motion to approve, if you can include a motion to waive the full reading of the ordinance.
Move to approve and waiving the what the city attorney mentioned.
Waive the full reading of the ordinance. And second. I would like to take, just for the record, I would like to take them individually. So
all right.
Okay.
So the first one is ordinance 2019-005.
And I'll second, but before I do, I just want to say thank you for making the few changes to include the 10-year review
sure.
on that.
No,
I appreciate
problem.
That.
No problem. It's our job.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor
Pinon?
Yes.
Well,
thank you very much, Council.
And then the same,
oh, right.
then the same for the next ordinance.
Okay.
If I could request that the motion maker include a motion in the motion to waive the full reading of the ordinance.
Okay, I'll make a motion for B and waive the full reading of the ordinance.
Thank you.
Second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes. So we move on to
thank
nine.
You.
Oh, we close the
yes.
public hearing.
Yep. We're ready for nine.
Very good. Excuse me. Adopt resolution number 2019-097, approving the finding of public convenience or necessity related to conditional use permit. Application number 2019-6, authorizing the sale of beer and wine for off-site consumption located at 1577 East Manning Avenue.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Rob Terry, Community Development Director. It looks like we're getting started off on the right foot here tonight. I did not leave the PowerPoint open on my desktop, which means that we can actually get started without a short recess. So my apologies for that last time, but we're looking good getting started here this time. So the item that we're looking at today, item number 9, is a public hearing for consideration of finding a public convenience or necessity, and this is related to conditional use permit number 2019-6. So to begin the presentation, I wanted to go over when we talk about public convenience or necessity associated with a conditional use permit, when you start talking about ABC licenses or the Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission, you can get into a lot of acronyms, a lot of confusion, so I wanted to go through exactly what the background is, what we'll be talking about tonight, and what any future activity would take place following the discussions tonight. So first and foremost, in the city of Reedley, any alcohol sales requires a conditional use permit. So anything that deals with the sales of alcohol, whether it also requires a finding of public convenience or necessity or not, will always require a conditional use permit. And conditional use permits, of course, are heard by the Planning Commission. So the Planning Commission has the opportunity to take a look at the project, the specific application, and determine whether or not a CUP is appropriate to be approved or denied in that location. Because this application does have to do with the sales or potential sales of alcohol, a conditional use permit was delivered to the Planning Commission. We will talk about the background of that meeting and the discussions that were had there. You then get into something called public convenience or necessity, and that is an additional item that can be required by ABC or the alcohol, the Department of Alcohol and Beverage Control, if there is what is referred to as an over-concentration of licenses. And what that means is in every census tract, ABC indicates a number of allowed licenses that could be looked at for lack of better term, by right, that as long as a CUP or anything required by the locality is allowed, ABC does not require any additional action from the local agency beyond that. If, however, there is a maximum number of licenses that is indicated in a census tract and that number has been met or exceeded, then for them to consider any additional license, ABC will always require the local agency to have a hearing to consider public convenience or necessity. They will then take that into account associated with the application. And the reason why that matters is because if a local agency elects not to make a finding of public convenience or necessity, then ABC will by default not allow an application to go through. So they will deny an application if PCN is required and the local agency elects not to make that finding. So first, Planning Commission, any potential for alcohol sales in Reedley, we'll discuss that one. Then public convenience or necessity comes before the City Council for you to discuss whether or not you believe that those findings are appropriate to be made. And then the item ultimately goes to the State Department, Alcoholic Beverage Control, and that is when they will then make the final determination on whether or not a license is appropriate to be allowed in that area or not, whether or not they are going to approve a license. So all the local activity takes place first and then goes to the state, and they will actually be the ones to hand out the license, and then, will also be the ones that will follow up on the license and ensure that all of the all the state criteria is continually met. Okay, so with that background in place, we move to the project site. The project site is on Manning Avenue, just west of Button Willow Avenue. It currently has two single-family residences on it that would be removed, and the project itself would be placed here, and we're going to talk about some of the details of that project coming up. So you can see right here up on the screen in the hatched area there, the project site. It is currently has a general plan designation of community commercial. It also has a zoning designation of CC or central and community commercial. Both of these uses are consistent, both of these zone districts are consistent with the proposed use that is not only has already been heard by the Planning Commission, but is also being delivered to the City Council for your consideration tonight. I think it's also very important to point out that whenever we talk about alcohol sales, there is something that ABC will refer to as consideration points. I typically refer to them as sensitive land uses, and that would include items such as schools, hospitals, churches, public playgrounds, youth facilities, things of that nature. They will look at whether or not there are any of those type of facilities located within 600 feet of where an alcohol license is being proposed, and there are none of those identified sensitive uses that are located within 600 feet of this project site. To take a quick look at the preliminary site plan, you can see on the left side there, we have, of course, the overhead picture. On the right side is the drawing itself of the site with the red line around being the project site, and the line on the inside showing what would be the basic footprint of the convenience store itself. We wanted to point this one out right here. This is actually in the yellow, the neighboring property, but the applicant has already been working with the neighboring property there and is in agreement for them to have cross access for each other so they can utilize each other's parking lot areas and really give more of a cohesive sharing amongst the two uses. That was something that we were really excited to see. And we'd love to see more of happening throughout the community, so definitely a good thing. In the green area you can see here, this is where the access for any drive-through would be attached to their quick service restaurants that would also be located within the convenience store. I have some examples that are going to show the existing store that the applicant operates in the city of Dinuba, so you'll be able to see a little bit of how that works there. Right now there's a Tutti Frutti yogurt and Togo's sandwich shop inside, so commonly referred to as quick service restaurants. So if you hear me say quick service restaurants, restaurant or QSR, that's what we're referring to there. And then this would be the six gas pump stations, total of 12 pumps, two on each side, fronting just off of Manning right there. So this would be a gas station, convenience store, and associated quick service restaurants also within one footprint. And then our points of ingress and egress as well off of Manning Avenue. So to take a look at the floor plan, my apologies, that can be a little tight to see, hopefully on the printouts that you have before you. It's going to look a little bit better. The blue hatched area that you have there in the corner specifically is what we will be really focusing on tonight, because that is what's referred to as the beer cave. So you will notice that the alcohol sales that is within the floor plan here is tucked away. It's not something that is very visual. They don't highlight the fact that it is there a lot, and that was really important. You'll see that in the pictures from the Dinuba location as well. It's very clean. And it's organized and it's appropriate in its scale and in the way that it is advertised. If you look at some of the other areas within the floor plan as well, you'll notice also that there's a meeting room there. One of the items that is very popular about their location in Dinuba is that it really acts as a community gathering point. And the applicant, seeing how many people from the community enjoy the amenities within the store, actually wanted to add in an additional meeting room space into this building here so that he could further accommodate that. We thought that was a great idea as well, and something that we were really excited to see, and really expanding on the background and the engagement that he already has with his existing business and with that community there, and wanting to make sure he was just going to further enhance that in the future. So that's part of their floor plan. Then to get into a little bit more of the project itself and the background, the convenience store itself, the fueling station, and the drive-through restaurants are all by right uses in those zone districts that we had talked about with what it is zoned as CC Community, Central and Community Commercial. And that means that they could actually be operated with just an approved site plan review. So none of those items require a conditional use permit. Those are by right uses. The conditional use permit and the public convenience and necessity that we are discussing tonight, that all has to do with the alcohol sales that would be allowed to take place on site. So to take a closer look at it here, the convenience store itself is a national brand. So the applicant is franchised through the Circle K brand. That is a national brand. The reason why that's important is because while you have a family-run business here that is very community-centric, they're also operating under that national brand, which means that they are held to very high standards for training, for their maintenance, for their operations, those type of items, because they're associated with a national brand. And that national brand, of course, is going to be judged based upon how their individual operators take place. So it's something that they take very, very seriously. As you can also see from the picture that I wanted to add in on the top there, that's the applicant surrounded by a lot of employees and members of the community. It's a very community active store, and his family is very active in the community. You can see the picture on the bottom of the right too. There's consistently a lot of movement in there, a lot of foot traffic, a lot of gathering, a lot of things. And if you read through the letters of support that were attached to the staff report there, you can see that it's not just the business community, not just the community groups, and not just the individuals who actually showed up to the Planning Commission that are our customers that came in to give positive feedback. It's a wide breadth of people that came in and really wanted to just say, this is the type of store where I feel comfortable, where I know that my children feel comfortable, and I feel safe in. And so we thought that was an important thing. We wanted to point that out there. And we think that the national brand actually has a lot to do with that, and that's why I wanted to highlight that. The other item, too, is that the ABC license that they are proposing to bring in is what is called an off-sale, and it is a Type 20. So what that means, Type 20 is beer and wine only. It does not allow for any type of what they refer to as distilled spirits or liquor, any hard alcohol. It is beer and wine only. And Circle K actually, as a franchise, they require that at least the Type 20 license be part of the operation. So that's certainly something that is always that we want to make sure that is very clear as well, what national retailers have certain type of requirements and regulations that go along with operations of their stores. So as I had said before, the potential for sale of beer and wine does require the conditional use permit, and because of that, the Reedley Planning Commission on October 3rd unanimously approved conditional use permit 2019-6. That is, of course, associated with this project and why we're having these continued discussions tonight. Also wanted to point to the fact that the public convenience and necessity that is required is because we have a census tract. We have a census tract that is already at its maximum number for what ABC determines to be those by right uses for ABC. And anything that goes beyond that is what requires that finding of public convenience and necessity from the city council at the local agency level. One of the challenges that we often see with anything organized in census tract is the fact that zoning doesn't really mesh right on top with census tract. Census tract actually has to do with how many people may reside in a certain area. It doesn't necessarily line up with how your community might be zoned. So certain census tracts, you will have much more commercial designation than you will items that might actually end up counting toward your census tract type of numbers. So it is not uncommon to see in many communities one or two census tracts where the majority of your commercial activity take place to exceed that PCN number that ABC comes up with. So just to give a couple examples of some of our neighboring communities, if you take a look at Sanger in their commercial corridor on Jensen and North, they have a number given by ABC of 8 maximum licenses. Right now they currently have 13 of them in operation. Their other commercial corridor, which is Walmart and Academy area, they have 7 given to them by ABC, 9 of them currently in operation. Looking at Kingsburg in their downtown area, 7 of them identified by ABC, 8 of them currently in operation, and their second commercial area, which they commonly refer to as their big box corridor, they have 4 of them allowed in that area and only 4 of them operating. Now the interesting part when we had conversations with them there was they said, well, for our big box, the big box stores have those, and we don't see a lot of other restaurants or quick service restaurants, mini marts, those type of items. But we found in the other communities that we looked around that that's very, very consistent, that they all have one or two of these census tracts that are heavy commercial activity and high traffic areas where you expect to see that. And, of course, they have PCN numbers that either meet or significantly exceed what the number given to them by ABC was. Take a look at some of the pictures that we have. These are the examples of the applicant's existing business in Dinuba. Several staff members I know have actually made the trip over there since the application came in. So these are pictures that were actually taken by Ellen Moore, associate planner, right on site. So the one on the left is the Togo's. The one on the right is the Tutti Frutti. Then if we take a look in near the back corner of that store there, this is the entrance to their beer cave. As you can see, the signing to it is not different than the signing that you will find for the other refreshments, for the cold beverages, for anything of that item. They do have, of course, the appropriate warnings and labels and everything that are supposed to be in place there, but it is very clean. It's very organized. This just simply calls out the area where you can see any of the alcohol sales taking place there. And then this is walking through the door of the actual beer cave itself. And this is inside of the actual beer cave. So you can see how they keep things organized and stocked in that manner. Then what we have right here is in the census tract area, these are the map of the existing licenses. Now, there are currently 7 that are allowed by ABC or that fall under that quote-unquote by right use. Currently, there are 8 of them in place total. And that consists of 5 Type 20. Type 20, as I had mentioned before, is beer and wine only. And then 3 Type 21, which is beer, wine, and distilled spirits or liquor. And you can see down near the bottom right in the blue colored area right there, that is the proposed project site. So quickly to go over the item just one last time, ABC determined that there's an over-concentration of licenses within that census tract because they had the number of 7. We currently have 8. As such, we approached the Planning Commission, as we always would, with a conditional use permit because of the potential for alcohol sales, and are now following up that, coming here to the City Council tonight to have discussions about a finding of public convenience or necessity. Only after Planning Commission action and City Council action could the applicant then apply to ABC for a license and for them to take action. And like I said, ABC gives great weight to what the local agency wants to see happening within their community. So we had a public hearing notice that was published for this meeting in the Mid-Valley Times on October 10th, 2009. A public hearing notice was also mailed for this same meeting with the same details to the surrounding property owners within 350 feet on October 10th. For the environmental assessment, number 2019-13 determined that this project is categorically exempt under the California Environmental Quality Act as an infill development and also as a new construction or conversion of a conversion of a small structure. So with that said, staff has the following recommendation, and that is to adopt resolution 2019-097, approving a finding of public convenience or necessity related to conditional use permit application number 2019-6, authorizing the potential for sales of beer and wine for off-site consumption located at 1577 East Manning Avenue. We do have the applicant on site. We'd be happy to answer any questions if council may have any questions there. I would remind you again that the Planning Commission did provide a unanimous recommendation of approval for this item. And there were multiple parties and customers that attended that Planning Commission meeting to express their feedback, and that was really based why the Planning Commission felt so strongly about that recommendation. And the applicant also has significant positive history and has been very engaged in his community. And the Planning Commission had significant conversations about that as well. So with that concludes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions that the council has.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the council or comments?
Rob, I have some questions on this.
Yes.
And I talked to the city manager about it. You know, over the years, we've had complaints from the public at another liquor store, another beer and wine, whatever. Let me ask you, on the map that you had this morning, we approved one on North Columbia. Nothing's happened there, but that was approved. Then there was an application on North Fisher, and that was denied. Now, this is what bothers me, is to approve one, deny another one. But when we approve something, is we're looking at the tax dollars. Are we looking at, isn't that important?
It is important.
Right? That's what bothers me, that you approve one and deny the other. Do you have any recommendations or reasons why we denied?
So there were a couple reasons that I think that one ultimately was denied, and staff's take on these are always to recommend, assuming that all the criteria are met within the CUP, that the business owner has proposed regulations that will keep things strict and clean. But that one was an interesting one because there was so much opposition to that
and
from
that
the public.
Because of the business across the street, Shop One, mm-hmm. they opposed it because they didn't want any competition.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And we denied that information. That's a grocery store that wanted to sell beer and wine. It wasn't going to affect anybody else. Just because that Shop One owner protested and had people in that meeting to support him, we denied it, which was wrong for us. And that really bothers me. And now here we come to prove something else.
I think it's important that we take them on a case-by-case basis.
Sure it is.
Rather than lumping them together in one type of business or type of activity. And I think you have to consider the people who are operating it also.
Have you been to that store that we denied?
I have not.
No. That's a grocery store that it just like every other grocery store, they wanted to sell something else, and we denied it.
Okay.
You know, that's what bothers me.
Well, I have a question to you, mm-hmm. Rob. At the Planning Commission meeting, were there people from the neighborhood or any people that spoke against this?
There wasn't actually. The only comments that we heard were from people both from Dinuba and actually from Reedley citizens that came and that frequent the applicant store in Dinuba, mm-hmm. and had positive feedback that they wanted to share with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I talked to a city council person this last weekend at that League of California Cities meeting, and he very highly recommended that we approve this. He said that in Dinuba that they have been a really community-oriented group and
I read the letters.
Provided a lot of support.
I've read the
to
letters,
the
so I understand. I stopped in this store, in their store in Dinuba, at least six, seven times. It's a nice store. Mm-hmm. My thing is approving one, denying another.
No, I hear you.
All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're looking for tax dollars, then do it right. Don't play games with one, not the other.
May I say something?
Yeah. Go ahead.
To be honest with you, I was one of them that complained about the others. But if I remember right, those were license 21s.
Correct.
They were distilled liquor for those. Mm-hmm. Both of those backed up against high capacity residential areas. The one on Fisher backs against apartments plus neighbors next door.
And it's your neighborhood.
And it is, that was hard liquor sales, not beer and wine. The one that was over, that was behind off of Columbia, that was going to be a bar, that was a hard liquor sales.
Right.
It backed against a church. To me, it's a whole different aspect where this one sets and the location. It's very limited. It's in a business district. These folks seem like they want to be neighbors, mm-hmm. to the businesses there. Mm-hmm. But my concern with those others was not that it was beer and wine. It was also spirit. It was distilled spirits that these were trying to deal. And I didn't know if that was going to be on sale and off sale. I know one was going to be on sale for sure. And that would have been the bar.
Oh, the one on Columbia.
And that concerned me because it backed right against the church and
that's
a residential district.
Columbia?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I didn't like that one either.
Yeah. But as far as trying to keep somebody because of another business owner, that had nothing to do with me fighting that issue. Yeah. Mine had to do with what was going to be the sales, and it was distilled liquor, not beer and wine. It was
one
a completely different issue.
Yeah, the one on Columbia, I wasn't in favor of that one. But the one on next on Manning.
Yeah.
That's the one that bothered me.
I will add a nuance here to this that I think is important for council to know, and that is City Market explained to the council at the time that they were going to move forward with the market regardless of whether or not they had the license. This project that we're talking about tonight does not move forward at all if they do not, and that has nothing to do with the business owner directly. It has to do with the Circle K, with the franchise itself. So that means no gas pumps, no Togos, no Tutti Frutti, or similar items. So I do think that's important for council to know. Whereas the City Market, we knew the market would occur regardless. This project will not occur without that due to the national brands requirements.
And I also like that this business person has went into the community and looked at our community with what he's doing. He's looked at his neighbors already. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was a step I didn't see out of the others either. Mm-hmm. They did not contact the neighbors or the surrounding residents. Because I remember one of the ladies that was backed up against where the bar was going to be came in here, and she was taking care of her, I believe, grandmother or something at the time that was ill. And here was going to be right against their residence. Yeah. So, like I said, my whole idea wasn't about the beer and wine. It was about distilled spirits, and was going to be an open sales issue going on there.
Yeah, if you're talking about the one in Columbia, yeah, I go along with you. Yeah. It's the one that's on next to
across the Altamar, the gas station.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That we denied.
Yeah.
It's the one that really bothered me from the start.
Yeah, I have to admit that kind of bothered me as well. We were talking about it. I believe we said that there were 9 places, and we were over the limit when we were talking about that particular individual or that store. And that was part of the reason we decided it was not going to happen. So, and shortly thereafter, we had another application, and that did happen. And, you know, those are the kind of like council member Soleno. I feel the same way. If we're going to be... we're going to follow what we're doing, we need to be straight across the board. Because I talk with those owners, and they have other businesses, and you know they're good people. They give to the community. Anyhow, that's not what this is about. But I just wanted to voice
Mr. Mayor, if I could, real quick, just remind the council. I think Councilwoman Fast stated it accurately. You are required to consider these on a case by case basis. Mm-hmm. So just because you previously denied one.
Yeah.
I don't want to revisit or have the council revisit those previous denials. I mean, the comments here tonight are fine, but we can't revisit the previous denials, and we can't use those previous denials as a basis for denying this one. And we have to consider this one on its own merits.
We're not talking about denying this one.
Right.
I have no problem with this one, okay? I'm just bringing up the fact that what happened in the past.
Absolutely.
And we don't do it again. We're looking for sales tax in this community. And let's look at these businesses very carefully. I have nothing, no problem with this one. I've been there 5, 6, 7, 10 times. When I go to Dinuba, I stop at their business. It's a nice place. Mm-hmm. But I'm not talking about what happened in the past. Let's be consistent, okay?
Yes.
Well, another thing that I noted in the report was that they would close by midnight. And I used to tell my kids nothing good happens after 11. Well, they're now over that. But
you gave your kids 11? My parents said 9 p.m. Jeez.
Maybe that was the boys, not my daughter.
Yeah, I'll bet that's exactly what it was. Yeah, girls are more controlled.
But I think that has a bearing, too. It seems to me that they're really thinking through their business model, and they're trying to be cognizant of their employees and also of our public, making it, you know, a long enough time that they'll have good business, but then they'll get a break too to clean and do whatever they need to do to get ready for the next day. And I just see it as a good business model, and I see no reason to deny.
at this point.
For the record, I've been to your establishment in Dinuba, and you keep a very nice establishment. It's clean, professional. I have no problem with it either. I think we need to move on, right?
Well, I have some comments.
Okay.
I felt the same way Ray did. And I know that we're over the limit. And I know we need sales tax. I just feel bad because we're so desperate for sales tax that we're going to allow a liquor license to come in. Because and that's how bad we are, I think. Everybody says we need sales tax. And it's too bad that we need sales tax so bad to have to provide this. And we're over the limit of 9. And I've been to your store too, and it's a very nice store. But we have liquor all over this page that they're selling. And so
we know when you have liquor this
morning. Well, just beer
alcohol and wine is to me liquor. it's not hard liquor, but it's still kids drink and beer and wine. It's still so you're the owner? Maybe this is all of the subjects.
I'll suggest that we open the public hearing.
Oh, okay.
First, and then we can let the applicant come
and then
and
I can ask them questions. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We open the public hearing. If you have a comment, any comment from the public, please come to the podium and state your name.
Good evening, city staff and city council member and public. My name is Sukhvinder Sidhu. I live in Dinuba since 2004, 3721 Alberta Circle. Also have a business 517 West Almonte Way. Mr. Rob very much explained about my operation, and this is big different whatever you already have. No matter you have Save Mart, no matter you have Starbucks, Baskin, they're big different. And what I'm trying to bring over here, whatever we need, public need, and especially college, they need students to go there, hang out, and do their paperwork, stuff like that. And this I'm going to bring it. And also my operation, Mr. Rao very much explained you already. So if you have any question, I'm here. I love to serve this community. And I'm excited also too.
I have a question that's kind of out of the ordinary, I guess. Are you selling cigarettes?
Every convenience store in California start from cigarette and alcohol.
Uh-huh.
In United States. There are no any convenience store without a tobacco, and we do sell cigarettes.
Uh-huh. Those electric cigarettes and
we do have electric cigarette.
And the vapor that's
we don't sell that one not yet. We're not doing, we're doing whatever Circle K require. We not start selling other stuff, whatever, like tobacco shop have it.
So, but if Circle K allowed it, then you would.
If in future they do, we have to.
You have to.
Mm-hmm. Or they take your license away if you don't follow their rule.
Okay.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have any questions from the public? Okay, state your name, please.
Good evening, council, city staff, Reda Banani, Dinuba resident, and community activist, representative for Mr. Sidhu Singh. I think everything was said by city staff. The expected sales revenue, we're talking about $5 to $6 million a year.
Without gas.
So I think it would be very beneficial to the city. Besides all the financial, and to answer Ms. Betancourt's concern, the alcohol is just one very small portion of the overall business. You're going to have multiple franchises. We're considering
more than four franchises.
Four or five franchises, which will create a food court. Something that was not mentioned here tonight, that was brought up at the Planning Commission, is that the city of Ridley has a concentration of fast food on the intersection of Manning and Reed Avenue. You have a college, you have a high school, so you have a population that during lunchtime will have to travel and further clog your arteries when this here will kind of alleviate that traffic congestion, because now you're providing your residents, your constituents, with multiple choices of franchises, possibly Popeyes, Burger King, all in the same spot. So you will have people that actually will come from the college and the high school area to this area and create the flow. I think it's extremely important. Every time I come to Ridley, it's a traffic nightmare, Reed and Manning. It's extremely difficult. So I hope that this will alleviate that. Another thing that I'd like to add, and this was brought up by city staff, Mr. Sikwinder Singh was a very valuable, as of last month, I believe, board of director at the local Dainuba Chamber of Commerce because of his creativity and because of his beautiful presence within our community in Dainuba. I think that he will enrich your community. He's a member of the Kiwani Club in Dainuba. They support the high school. I am sure that he will sponsor many teams. And there is a major difference between his business and other liquor stores. This is not the liquor store where you will see farm labor employees sitting by the side of the door or behind the building opening up beers and drinking. This is not happening. This is a safe family environment. Our police department, Dainuba PD, frequents that area. Most officers have quick lunches there. It's clean, it's safe, and hopefully Ridley will have the pleasure to benefit of the same thing that we do in Dainuba. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah, I don't think that we're questioning the, you know, the location or the fact that it's going to be a family-oriented location, business. We're just concerned about the amount of sales or places that sell beer and wine, and we're just trying to make the best decision possible with what we have to work with. So do we, are there any other questions from the public, by the way?
And close the public hearing?
We're now closing public hearing. No questions from the council? So do we need to make a motion on this?
Yes, if there's a motion to approve and or.
Move to approve.
Be made.
Second.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
I said aye, but not yes.
Need a yes or no.
Aye. It's really difficult.
Yes.
Yes, I guess.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Because it's a new area.
Your opinion?
Yes.
I don't have so much worry about it.
Thank you. That too, very good.
Yeah. We'll continue.
Thank you.
Stay a little while. Their cigarettes and all that stuff.
So we move on to number, where are we at?
10.
My goodness. Okay, administrative business. Approve and authorize the city manager to execute all documents and plan changes necessary for the provision of dental, medical, and vision coverage for eligible city employees, retirees, and dependents for the 2020 calendar year.
Okay. Good evening again, Mayor and City Council, and we are very pleased to bring you what we feel to be as good news tonight regarding our city medical benefit renewal, which is a $2 million annual expense for the city. So a lot of care and time goes into making sure that we're getting the best bang for the buck while providing good benefits to our employees who serve the public. So joining In council chambers tonight is Kathy Huber and Kathy Sunday from Horseman Financial and Insurance Services. They have worked exceptionally hard. I think probably the hardest they ever have on a renewal for us. So we've done quite a bit of dancing and renewal negotiations with the carriers, and we're pleased to bring this forward to you tonight. As is standard practice, we put the entire package out to bid out in the marketplace over the summer. What came back was some pretty sizable increases at the first blush, almost 13% to be able to stay with Blue Shield, which we're in our second year of coverage after moving from Blue Cross in 2018. So the initial renewal was 12.9% higher than what we're paying this year. And that's a little bit of a problem for us because we only budget about 5% a year for our medical increases, trying to balance the budget. We don't forecast really highly. But that's obviously a big problem with that big of a difference. As part of the negotiation process and the hard work of Horseman Financial Insurance Services, we were able to get the increase down to 7% next year. Now, it seems a little, it seems wrong to be excited about only a 7% increase, but we're talking about medical benefits here, and that's one of the fastest growing areas of cost in our budget. So that said, the 7%, even though it's above our 5% that we budget, the other portion of our coverage, and that's the Kaiser Permanente plans, those again are coming in a very low renewal increase of only 2.45%. So if you blend those two increases together based on who's enrolled in what plan, the increase is actually a 3.51% increase. So it's just a little bit below budget. To get to that 7% increase on Blue Shield, though, we had to make some adjustments in our plans this year that we're hoping that the council also agrees with, one of which is our current vision coverage is with the VSP, which is the Vision Service Plan. We've been with them for, I want to say, 4 years now. It's a very good plan. A lot of people have it. But Blue Shield also has a vision plan that's very comparable and in some cases better. And they're trying to gain new membership into the plan. So they said, hey, if you come with us, and we're ending our four-year rate lock on VSP, if we come with us over to Blue Shield, we'll give you a discount on the renewal. We said, okay, we'll look into it. So we looked at all the benefits, and it is, in fact, better in some ways in that you have 0% out-of-pocket for your eye exam, 0% for your eyeglasses, 0% $0 down for your frame deductible. So that said, there's a few betterments in that plan. But probably the biggest change that we're asking is to lock out the Kaiser plan for 2020. And this would be a one-year lockout for any new enrollment in the Kaiser. So if you have Kaiser as an employee and we have 27 employees, I believe, who are enrolled in Kaiser, they would keep their plan. They would stay in Kaiser. Any employees who want to leave Kaiser to go to Blue Shield, HMO, or PPO will be able to do so. What we're proposing to do this next year is to lock out any new enrollment into Kaiser. Essentially, the more people we lose out of Blue Shield, the less premiums we're paying to Blue Shield. We're also taking the care essentially out of our community. We don't have a Kaiser provider, a Kaiser building in city limits. The closest one's in Selma, Visalia, and Fresno. So what we're looking at is preserving our medical providers here in town. It's a lot closer for staff, most of which that live closely or in town, be able to come and see their doctors here. So that said, if you're a Kaiser diehard, if you're already in the plan, you keep it. We're essentially looking at this on a year-to-year basis. And for 2020, we feel it makes sense to do a one-year lockout for new enrollees, and that allows us to come in with a 3.51% renewal increase versus what would have been a lot higher if we don't do this. So with that, we ask for your consideration and approval on this item, or if there's any questions.
Do we have any questions from the council? Any comments?
No. My only question is this. How's the city employees, are they in agreement with this program, that the way we're changing it up?
We've done quite a bit of outreach on this. We've met with all the employee groups. That's a great question. We did meetings with all the unrepresented staff. There are only five staff members who are in Kaiser with unrepresented. And with the POA, our Police Officer Association, there's only two members in the entire unit that are in Kaiser. No issues whatsoever. We also met with our blue collar unit, and they just wanted to make sure that during the open enrollment process that we give more time to for their members to ask questions and get information. So we're doing a benefits fair on November 6th at the community center from 9 to 2, whereas we normally just do 1 hour in the council chambers. This will allow them to come and go much more freely, and they'll have much more options to talk to staff. And the Kathy Hubert and Kathy Sunday will be present for the entire 5 hours. I'm not sure if they're actually committed to that, but they just did. Okay. They've been absolutely wonderful throughout this whole process. We've spent a lot of time talking with them on this. So
we appreciate all your hard work and diligence. Thank you so much for helping us out with this. It's a real chore in it. Thank you so much. Do we have any questions for the council?
Probably just a comment from me. I just appreciate the work that you guys do. You get very creative in trying to make it work for our employees. I do, however, see, you know, as years go by, this is a big cost to our city. And if there's any way we can maybe move like some of the deductibles to be a little bit higher or something to get our rate to be lower, might be a suggestion for future. But I think that has to go through the union stuff too in that whole process. So you're doing the best you can with what you have to work with, but just my comment for future.
Thank you.
Kathy Sunday from Horseman Financial Insurance Services. We did look at moving the dental to Blue Shield also, but their rates came in 20% higher than your self-funded presentation. So the cost of the increase didn't offset the savings. So that was, the self-funded with Emeritus has worked wonderful for the city.
We also look at the deductibles, but the problem with the plans right now are the jumps are so high, and so the impact to the employees would be really great when we change these deductibles. So it's not a small step. You have to be ready for a really big step. So we're trying to impact, you know, trying to really change that. So we're trying to put the pressure on the insurance company to bring the rates down still. But you're right. At some point, we might have to make more changes, but we're trying to keep this modified. I do have to say, though, that we've been working quite closely with the employees. You have great employees, and they really, really appreciate everything you do and the feedback we've gotten. And so we appreciate working with all of you. So thank you.
I think your comment, though, doesn't fall on deaf ears, and it is something that we talked about this year of really, you know, over the past probably 5-6 years, we've tried very hard to do more of the cost sharing between the employer and the employee. And so, in fact, we've gone from a situation where 8 years ago we picked up 100% of everything. We now have a situation where employees, in some cases, pay up to $200 a month, depending on what plan they want to be in. In the case of the renewal that came forward this time around, the HMO, for instance, that I'm a part of, I pay a certain amount per month, and my cost will go up by another $40 per month because we do now have that cost sharing, which is good. That means the city doesn't cover that whole burden or doesn't carry that whole burden. In the case of the other PPO plan, whereas that monthly cost didn't go up as much, that cost sharing resulted in a maximum out of pocket for family going up from $1,000 to $1,500. So this is something where I do want the council to know that we're not expecting the city to pick up the entire burden of increases. Ideally, where we'd like to go in the future, and we are heading into negotiations with the two units this year for MOUs next year, ideally we would like to provide more options for employees. So those employees who seldom use medical benefits and would like to have a high deductible plan so that they have nothing out of pocket can have that option, and vice versa.
Okay.
You know, so we're looking at potentially, can we provide more options to employees, eases the burden on the city. The Kaiser is kind of the tough nugget in that one, and we have to really discuss what we're going to do with that, because they keep trying to eke away market share from Blue Shield. However, this is something that Paul and I talk about each year with the renewals, that we really need to be conscious of not having the city pick up the entire burden of premium increases, because a lot of this has to do with employees' usage and mm-hmm. and frequency, and the more we can get employees to do things like using urgent cares and teledocs rather than ERs when they have colds and flus, the lower the premium mm-hmm. increases are. So we're working on all these fronts simultaneously.
And that'll be part of our, when we do the benefits fair, that'll be part of our focus, is to remind them of some of these really cost-saving things. But thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. Yeah, I like the idea of having options for employees, but that can come at a cost as well. Mm-hmm. It's too many, yeah. Very good. Thank you so much. We move on to...
We do need a vote.
We need
to. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Well, he's got it.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Canoon?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salina?
Yes. Thank you.
11, receive, review, and file the quarterly investment report for first quarter ending September 30th, 2019, for fiscal year 2019-20. Admin?
That's a review and file item, okay. So no presentation.
I'll read the next one, then we'll go to council reports. Minutes of the regular meeting, September 5th, 2019, of the Reedley Planning Commission. Now we go into council reports. Do we have any, Ms. Costolino? No. Councilmember Bettencourt?
No.
The only thing I had is I had an Airport Land Use Commission meeting on the 7th. And on the 10th, attended the fire department's open house. Great job again, Chief. You had a good turnout. Mm-hmm. I finally got my great grandkids down there to see it, so I'm glad they were able to make it. So thank you. That's all I have.
Mayor Pro Tem Fast.
Yes. Last week, I attended the League of California Cities meeting in Long Beach. And it's interesting, it's a statewide meeting, and the priority discussion was housing regulations in our new wonderful governor's Newsom's budget, and issues and problems within that. Also homelessness and housing concerns for them, and also the state regulations that are limiting our officers from acting on their best judgments. And then the third item was the pension concerns with the future funding. I did go to a presentation with CalPERS, one of the people on the board that was just appointed to the board. And she said that there was a new pension outlook tool on the website. I don't know if that might be something you might probably already know about, but it sounded interesting to me that might give us some ideas of what we are going to owe forever. So, well, what can I say? Also attended the fiesta and had a nice parade. Thank you for getting that truck going for us and having a good driver. And also attended the Friday evening of the parade festivities with the king and queen being crowned. That's always a fun time for me, but I enjoyed the entertainment that evening. It was a nice event. We just kind of hung around and listened to the groups that performed. It was good. On the 12th in the evening, I attended the Teen Challenge Arise program out at the Emanuel Sports Park, featuring Nicky Cruz, and he was the man who began the Teen Challenge program throughout the nation and now across the world. And if you ever get an opportunity to listen to him speak, you need to go. I think us Reedley people missed out a There were a lot of people there, but I think there could have been a lot more. When he came up, I thought, oh, is he going to make it up the stage, up the steps? But boy, once he started talking, wow, really good. And I also attended the fire department open house, and seemed like there were more vendors promoting fire safety inside the building this year than there have been in the past. And I know, like, PG&E took the time to tell my grandkids, you know, if you see this or you see that, what should you do, and kind of quiz them. And I thought it was really good. And you always have a lot of fire trucks out there with good support and attendance, and it's really important that we have that support with our neighbors. So I just wanted to say thank you to you and your department. Every time I talk to somebody about really, oh, we like them, and oh, they're always, you know, they're willing to work with us. So we appreciate you. And I'd like to thank Russ for attending the Upper Kings Water meeting for me. I saw that you did have a quorum issue, and it kind of makes me upset that these people don't take responsibility. But anyway, there were a couple of things I wanted to point out that you guys discussed at that meeting, and there was a discussion about AB 658 and the water rights and water management that the governor signed on a bill on October the 9th. Also, there was a SB 487 that was vetoed by the governor due to the cost of $150 million over the next 10 years. And then he also vetoed the bill SB number 1, which had a lot of environmental issues in it. And had that gone into effect, I think we could have been in really big trouble. But now he wants to make it more stringent. So I don't know. We kind of face off with getting by now, but we may get more later. So, that's a bill that we need to be looking at and watching as water issues go forward. And that's all that I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Also attended the fire department open house, elbow to elbow. It was packed. Was there more people there than last year? Sure seemed like it. That's a good thing.
There's always a lot of people.
That's a good thing, yeah. Great job. I really enjoyed that. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to bring my grandkids this year. But anyhow, great job. Also, was my first fire truck parade ride. That was awesome. Talk about elbow. We had a blast in it. Great job. Enjoyed that. You having problems with me?
Yeah. Always.
Also attended the Arise event with Nikki Cruz. It was a fantastic presentation. I agree. I think Reedley missed out. Mm-hmm. There could have been so many more people out there. Great presentation, great message. We need to bring them back, I believe. This morning I was here with Sylvia. We had, I don't know how many kids were here from T.L. Reed. What an awesome bunch of kids. Very interested in as to what's going on with, you know, city business. And, you know, we have some great future leaders in our schools today. And I think we need to keep them in our sights because the world has nothing good for them. So I was totally blessed by their being here today. I have nothing else, city?
A few things for you. We'll try to make it quick here. One, Domino's is open, so if you haven't seen that yet, Domino's Pizza over where the old Radio Shack is. Oh, very excited about that. Two, the parking lot work, particularly the solar element of the parking lot work, will finally be starting November 4th, so you'll see that. You'll see elements of that going up. In addition, the entrance monument will be going up November 4th as well, or around those dates. Okay. So I know our public has been asking. Many people didn't read in the exponent what had happened to it, so we do get a lot of questions, but that is going back up. Last week, we met with the library, and a couple council members I had a chance to speak to about this to let you know that the Board of Supervisors has just been fabulous with us and the library. Initially, when we started this project, we were told that we would get roughly $4 million of Measure B, and we would have to raise about $3 million to $4 million locally, so we would have to match the Measure B with local fundraising dollars. The Board of Supervisors this past month voted to change that, and they're now allocating $7 million to Reedley so that the library can be built with no local fundraising, assuming our community does not want something special in the library. If we go forward with something phenomenally different than what they do in other libraries, we'll have to raise the funds for that locally. But if we want sort of the computer lab and the tutoring rooms and the library spaces and what they're doing in modern libraries, they have all the money and they are ready to go. So we're very excited about that. It's very nice of the Board of Supervisors, and I have to say I think that's because many of you and many of us, every time we see supervisors, are talking about Reedley, and we're talking about the exciting projects moving forward. And we're a little aggressive when it comes to some of that stuff, which is good. Right. It's very good. I will tell you that one of the comments or one of the reasons they were here was to get a list of community groups that they should speak to do public outreach. And so we did give them a list. If there are any groups in particular that you think should be contacted, please let Sylvia or I know, and we'll add that to their list. We tried to hit them all, the college, the school district, the Jefferson Moms Group, because I promised the Jefferson Moms Group that they would be included. The Kiwanis Rotary Lions, all of those, and some others. But if there's any you want to make sure are on the list, please let me know. And then lastly, pretty exciting, tomorrow is COG's Transportation Conference. And there's some exciting things happening with that, including one of the off-site tours that they're taking is going to be over to the Sky Park, where people are going to be seeing our electric aircraft take off. So that tour is booked full, solid, whereas high-speed rail and some of the other tours are not. So I'm pretty excited about that. But the most exciting element is we have two people in the room with us right now who will both be getting awards tomorrow out of the entire county, two out of Reedley. One is Rob Terry for Transportation Planner of the Year in Fresno County. So congratulations, Rob. Nice. Awesome job. Yes. And the other is John Robertson. Reedley now has the only Class 4 bikeway in Fresno County, and that is due to John Robertson's hard work, so he'll be accepting that award for us tomorrow as well. So that's all I have, and I know staff do have a couple.
Yeah, good evening. Just a quick reminder that this Saturday is our community fall cleanup event at the Reedley Sports Park. So it starts at 8 and ends at 2. So load up all the junk you can get in your pickup. I know I'm going to be loading up early in the morning before my wife wakes up, because that's the only reason I'll be able to, only way I'll be able to get rid of this stuff. She does not throw anything away. But anyway, hope to see you there.
Thank you.
Bring driver's license and proof of residency. So you, driver's license and utility bill is preferred. So thank you.
And that's out at the sports park?
Yes, correct.
Again, okay.
I just want to let you know that on starting October 24th, Buttonwill north of Manning will be closed. So northbound traffic on Buttonwill will be closed for about 4 days. The detour will be in place. Currently, there's a changeable message sign out right now letting people know the detour is coming. But it's happening because the UHC is putting a water line in that's closer to the center of the roadway, and so we're going to have to close that section of the roadway.
Both
and
ways?
Detour. Southbound traffic will be open.
Okay.
So southbound traffic can go. People heading north on Buttonwillow that come up to Manning are going to have to go left or right. They won't be able to continue straight. Okay. So that's the section of the roadway that is closing. Okay. Also want to let you know that over the next few weeks, we're halfway through our analysis of our signage in the city. I mentioned, I believe, before that we had received funding, HSIP funding, to look at the retroreflectivity of our signs to make sure they're meeting all the current standards and requirements so that they're shining bright enough at night to direct people as they drive on our arterials and some of our collectors. They've done that analysis, and now they're going out now, and they'll be going out to these arterials and just checking to make sure that the proper signage is up. And maybe we have enough signage, or we have too much, and they'll remove and they'll make recommendations. And the end result of this is to come out and to replace the signs that are not meeting the standards and requirements and putting it up so that we have making sure that our signs light up well at night. And this is all federally funded, and the city has no match dollars on this. And so it's 100% paid through HCHIP. So you might see people over the next few weeks if you get questions. That's just really what's going on. So just wanted to let you know about those two things. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Sylvia will be passing out a flyer of an event that we're going to be hosting here in a couple of days. And I do apologize for the short notice because this was something that we just started discussing this morning. If you don't know, October is designated as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And October 24th, which is the third Thursday of the month, has always been designated, the third Thursday has always been designated as Wear Purple. Purple is the color that is utilized to bring awareness to domestic violence. And this year just happens to fall on the 24th of October. And once I heard about this happening, or that, you know, wearing purple, at first initially it's just like, well, let's just wear purple. But then I was driving to work this morning, I thought, you know what, we don't put enough effort. I haven't put enough effort in my tenure as the chief of police to the spreading the word of domestic violence and what it does to families and how it impacts those families. So what I decided to do, and I just happened to take the 24th and just utilize that number, and we are going to be doing a 24 minutes of prayer to bring awareness to domestic violence. And we are going to be in front of the Marjorie Mason Center Marjorie Mason Resource Center at 1019 G Street, so it's right downtown Reedley. And we're going to be inviting as many people as we can. We're going to be inviting some of our clergy to come out and pray with us. This is just an opportunity for us to pray for those victims, those people who have lost their lives to domestic violence, those that have survived domestic violence, and those who may be living in a relationship that is abusive and or violent, and they just don't know how to get out of it. So this is going to be an opportunity that we can pray for those folks, because one of the Bible verses that I remembered at one time, and it kind of came to light with this, is Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, that says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And my hope is that as a group, as a community, we will all come together to pray together so that our voices, our collective prayers can be heard. And those people that are needing help will get the help, will somehow or another know that we are here to help them. We are here to support them. And we are here to bring awareness to domestic violence and what it does. So what our goal is just to pray for 24 minutes. This is not an opportunity for speeches. This is not an opportunity for anything other than prayer. And so Pastor Matt Harder from RMBC has agreed to be my lead pastor at this event. And we're going to be trying to reach out to as many of pastors within the community to be there. We're reaching out through Eric Valencia and the Chamber of Commerce to reach out to the business owners downtown. And what we're going to ask them to do is to really close down for 24 minutes. 24 minutes is not a lot to ask of a person, and join us in this day at this time to pray. And then we will also be having at 10:24 a minute of silence so that we can all reflect and we can all pray in our own way for people who have gone through domestic violence, have become victims, or again, those who are living in that relationship. It's going to be just a 24-minute event, starts at 10:06, and we will end it at 10:30. So we really encourage everybody to come out to be part of this. And the one thing I would ask you to do is to wear purple. Wear purple. That way we can show solidarity in the awareness of domestic violence so that our community knows that we are behind them, that we are here to support them. I can guarantee you, and because I've spoken to a couple of people already that are coming on Thursday, and they are victims of domestic violence. And they say, and they've told me, it says, thank you for bringing this this problem to the foot of the cross, because that means a lot to them. So asking, just inviting our council, we've already started putting it out through our social media, and I've asked a couple of folks, and no one else does this. No one else does something like this. Because, and if you look at the initial stat there, through the National Domestic Violence Hotline, on an average, 24 people per minute are victimized. So that's where the 24 just became very vivid in my, or kind of hit home. So on the 24th, 24 minutes. So that's what really kind of brought me to the idea of doing this for 24 minutes. Let's bring prayer to this issue.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, thank you.
Is there anybody else who has any updates? All right, just lastly, as a reminder, Sylvia did remind me, we've got two different Korean visiting groups this week, so if you can attend either. One is Wednesday. It is a group of folks from the second largest city in Korea that will be here. It's two busloads. And one is on Saturday, Korean guests from Southern California. So if either, if you can attend, and Mayor, thank you, I think you'll be attending, and I think Councilmember Fast may be attending as well. If anybody else can attend, please let us know. Mayor, that's all.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night, and we'll see you next time. Yep. Good night. Meeting adjourned.